Today's scripture was about Solomon's wisdom and how great and how wise that he was and how much that God had given him, because that's what he had asked for when God said, I'll give you anything that you ask for. So he asked for wisdom. And we heard about all the people that came to see him because of his wisdom and because of his knowledge. And because of that, he was very, very famous. So I thought, what better place to go and ask, what's the meaning of life? What did he get from all this? Like, if I would go to him, like, okay, Solomon, let's write a book. What would he say in his book about how great all this stuff was? How great was it to have all this wisdom? How great was it to have all this wealth because of what God had given him? But what I found was he didn't think it was all that great, much to my surprise. He starts out in Ecclesiastes, which is where we're going to be going through a lot of scripture today. He starts out in Ecclesiastes. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanities of vanities, all is vanity. Everything's toilless. It's but a breath. And I got to thinking, it's like, this isn't really the way that I would start out a book at all. But you've got my curiosity. Why in the world would you say that all this stuff was meaningless and toilless? It was nothing but a breath or a vapor. It's all vanity. But again, he had me hooked of, why are you thinking this way? He looks at life in verses 3 through 11 in a very matter-of-fact way. In fact, it reminds me of a Pink Floyd song. Because here Solomon is talking about nothing seems to stop, and the world keeps going no matter what or who is in it. You just seem to be another brick in the wall. There is nothing new under the sun. Nothing that satisfies you or fills you up. All you do is strive for the next thing and never get to enjoy what you have done or what you are doing. I wish a lot of people would take some of this into account because we're constantly bombarded by the news. We have news 24/7 on, I don't know how many different channels now. I don't have cable TV. We've got internet TV. But we've got to be in the know. What's going on in Facebook? What's going on in this? What's going on social media? What's going on in this? And what Solomon said about all that wisdom is found in 1:12 through 18. I, the preacher, have been the king over Jerusalem, or is over Israel and Jerusalem, and have set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom concerning all that has been done under the heaven. It is a grievous task which God has given the sons to be afflicted with. I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is in vanity, and striving after the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, behold, I have magnified and increased wisdom more than all who are over Jerusalem before me. And my mind has observed a wealth of wisdom and knowledge, and I have set my mind to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I realized that this is also striving after the wind. This is the crucial part. Because in much wisdom, there is much grief, and increasing knowledge results in increasing pain. Now, I'm not saying that I want my doctors not to go to college, because that would be like sending me in to be a surgeon. We're just going to cut you open right here and, you know, root around in there with a stick and see if we can't find something. That's not what he's talking about. That's not the knowledge and the wisdom. But the constantly needing to know, the constantly wanting to know what's happening, what's going on. God's given you a place right here, right now. He said that was more important than all the other things that I was worried about. So after realizing that we're chasing the wind by chasing after wisdom, Solomon lets us know again that if he were living in this day, he would have, quote-unquote, had the American dream. Because he, at a click of a finger, he could have people come and sing and dance for him. He could have whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted it. There was nothing that his heart desired that he couldn't have. He had the American dream. But again, he tells us that it's toilless. It was meaningless to have all this stuff. And I don't get it, because it's just like, this is the American dream. This is what he's this is what we're chasing after. This is all the things that we work for, that we go for, that we want. But he said it's all meaningless. Again, not a way that I would write a book or want a book to be sold, because you want to tell people, hey, look at how great this life is. All these people come to you. All these people want to know this stuff about you. They all see all your stuff and what God's given you. In 2:10 through 11, he said, all that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasures. For my heart was pleased because of all my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor. Thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done, and the labor which I had exerted. And behold, all was vanity, and striving after the wind, there was no profit under the sun. Again, this is not the way I would figure that a man with all this wisdom, all this wealth, and all this knowledge would ever write a book at the end of his life. But he's given us great insight of what it means and what it looks like. Solomon continues to write again, and I wish I could have been there to stop him, because any chance of writing a bestseller book of how to become rich and famous and what it's like to be rich and famous, he's crushing it. Like, he's demolishing that dream. He writes in chapter 2, 17 through 19. So I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything was futility and striving after the wind. Thus I hated all the fruit of my labor, for which I had labored under the sun. For I must leave it to a man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool, yet he will have control over all the fruit of my labor, which I have labored by acting wisely under the sun. This too is vanity. We don't like to talk about dying. We don't like to talk about what's happening after, to all of our stuff after we're done with on this earth. This isn't fun. But this is a man that had all the wisdom, more than anyone will ever have again, had more riches than probably anyone will ever have again. And he said all this labor meant nothing. Having all this stuff meant nothing. Still not a way I'd write a book, because of the way that we idolize all of our stuff. And we shouldn't really be thinking about, well, we're just going to hand this stuff over to the next generation. But that's what's going to happen. We're going to pass what we have to give to the next generation. They're going to take it and do whatever they want with it. Now, Lord willing, we raised our kids, we raised our grandkids, we raised our great-grandkids to be God-fearing people. But they're going to do with it what they wish. I know I had some fun looking at Scripture as coming at it as someone that would try to help Solomon write a book that would be better than what he did. But I couldn't do it, because there's so much wisdom. There's so much truth in striving after the American dream, and how empty it is, and how if we would ask anyone outside these walls, probably inside these walls too, because we've all done it. Oh, if I can just get this next thing. Oh, if I can get just this next thing. Or if we can just do that. Man, that'd be so great. Well, then you get it, and you find out how empty it was. What Solomon learned the most was that you can have everything and anything, but without God, it's not important. Of all his infinite wisdom, without God, it was nothing. It meant nothing. God's the one that gave it purpose. God's the one that gave it meaning. Not saying that God doesn't want you to have good things. Not saying that God doesn't want to bless you. And that's what even Solomon talks about in here. Enjoy the fruits of your labor that God has given you and blessed you with. But know that they're just for a breath. Solomon also writes that he had it all. And even more, it meant nothing at the end of his life. We all are going to die, whether we're sinner or saints. We all suffer the same or fatality. Our bodies will be buried and our souls are going to one or two places, either heaven or hell. The only thing that matters is what you do with the dash, because God is forever, and the work that he does lasts forever. Everything else is merely a breath or a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow. So what are we living for? If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, please do so. Ask Jesus into your heart. Acknowledge that you're a sinner and that you need forgiveness. If you've walked away from God, he's waiting for you to come back. He's there with open arms. Make whatever you need to make right with him. For those of us that are continuing to walk with the Lord, may we keep our eyes fixed on him and focused on him so that he can sustain us and that he can give us the plans and the purposes and so that we can enjoy the fruits of our labor the way that he intends us to. But if you want to doubt, we'll pick up in chapter 3. Solomon writes in verses 1 through 8 that there's a time for everything. And verse 11 says that God made everything in its appropriate time. So you're not here by chance. You're not placed in this moment by accident. God has a very specific work for you to do. At this moment, at this time, right here while you're in the pew, 10 minutes from now when you're out in the parking lot, 15 minutes now from now when you're either at a restaurant or you're making dinner, God has a plan and a purpose for all that. God has everything in control. You can either hop on board with him or you can perish and have everything that you've ever done be in vain, because God's already won the victory over Satan. He has the victory. He has the keys. Whatever God does will last forever. That's promise. But whatever is done without God is going to burn up. God's the one that created everything in the earth and on it. And nothing you do can separate God's love from you or for you. But apart from him, all you are is a grain of sand on the beach, being beaten and battered by the waves of life, with nothing to give you life or purpose or fulfillment. The only thing that matters is with what you do in this life is what you do for the Lord, because the souls that you are bringing along the way are the only things not going to burn up. This world will burn up. It's promised in 2 Peter 3:10. Those who reject the Lord will be cast into a lake of fire with a never-ending thirst for more. Revelations 20:14 through 15. Our days on earth are few and numbered compared to eternity. What are we going to do with our time? Tomorrow may never come. I'm supposed to load and go to Michigan tomorrow night. That may or may not happen. I could be 6 foot under tomorrow. But you know what? This body's going to be 6 foot under. But my spirit, my soul, that's going to heaven. That's where I'm going to be for eternity. And nothing on this life was ever worth anything else more than that. Other than the people that I bring along with me. I have one little last crazy thought. As you know, I haul pigs for a living. And I bet if you ask one of them pigs what it's like to be in the back of my trailer tomorrow night after I load them and go to Michigan and take that 12-hour ride, guarantee you they would tell you that it's an eternity. But in the blink of an eye, that's all it really is in comparison to the rest of their life. That's it. It's one day in their life. And in that moment, it is an eternity. So what we have to do is look at where our hearts are at. What are we putting our hope and our faith and our purpose into? The wisest man on earth said, I had it all. And it was nothing. I worked for all this, and I'm going to leave it to someone else. That's it. We'll close in prayer. Dear Father, I just thank you so much for today. And Lord, we just thank you for giving your son on the cross for our sins. Lord, we thank you that you want to have a relationship with us. Lord, that your desire when you created us was to fellowship with us, to work with us, to enjoy our company. And Lord, as much as you enjoy our company, Lord, we should enjoy yours that much more. Because you're the one that provides for everything for us. Lord, we thank you for what you've given Solomon. And Lord, at the end, it may seem like he's a curmudgeon. But Lord, the wisdom and the knowledge that you've given him, and when he looks back on his life and he says, it was all nothing. Lord, the only thing that we have to gain is you. Lord, we're here for eternity. We're looking towards eternity. We're trying to take as many people as we can with us and to heaven. And Lord, not just heaven with you and your heavenly realms, but Lord, right here on earth. Lord, we can have heaven on earth. Lord, may you speak to our souls. And Lord, just give us the eyes and the wisdom and the things of our hearts that, Lord, nothing satisfies but you. May you be our comfort. May you be our rock. May you be our shelter. Lord, because anything else that we put any of that in is going to end up empty. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you're going to do and the works that you do in us and through us. And thank you for your patience with us as we sometimes walk away, stray away. Sometimes, Lord, we put our hope and our faith and trust in things that we can do, and Lord, not in you. But ultimately, we can do nothing apart with you or from you. Lord, we just ask this for your honor and your glory. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.